What up, what up? It's your player partner checking in. 2 Chainz, and right now you're locked in to Jalen and Jacoby. Yeah.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together, we are a duo known as Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, the last dance has concluded about 3 days ago. But the impact still reverberates. The latest we have is from Horace Grant with some strong words about the documentary.
Let's tell it like, man, let's talk about it, or we can tell it another way. It's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it was only a grudge. And I think he proved that during this so-called documentary, when if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He's going to try to destroy your character. My point is that he said, I was a snitch. But yet and still, after 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into former teammates' room and saying coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
Ooh, Jalen, does Horace Grant have a bit of a point about The Last Dance?
This is an exact science of why money can't buy love. And so many times we think winning and success and championships buy harmony, but in a lot of cases, it's just the opposite. And as an NBA alum, it's unfortunate for me to see that these successful gentlemen who accomplished so much aren't seeing eye to eye. But the one thing about doing a documentary or writing a book is there's a story to be told. And what's going to happen is you make people relive things from their past that are painful to them. In particular, sometimes around people. They could be family, friends, or neighbors that don't necessarily know that that happened. And now you feel you have to relitigate something that was painful to you in your life. But he didn't have to tell all of Scottie's warts. I agree with that. A couple of things could have got left out because that's his Robin, so to speak. But ain't no way to tell a story without having good characters and bad characters. And it's just unfortunate. But lastly, I'll have to admit, Jacoby, and tell me how you feel about this. As somebody that's produced the Fab Five doc, that's written a best-selling book, when you start to tell a story from beginning to end, there's going to be some casualties. There's going to be some people who are unhappy with how you told the story from your version.
Of course, everybody remembers things different. You know what I mean? I think especially when you have a documentary like this, the main character is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. He did multiple interviews, and he is the narrator that carries the narrative. Everybody's view of something that you had a collective experience about in the past is going to be different. That's just how it works. You see this with all documentaries. And the Horace Grant, he's not going to get the same screen time as Michael Jordan is over a course of 10 hours because it's about Michael Jordan. But one thing that you did mention, which I thought was interesting, is Horace Grant kind of took a little bit of a notice of how Scottie Pippen was treated, and Scottie Pippen himself hasn't really spoken about the documentary. Do you think Horace has a point that Scottie Pippen wasn't treated fairly in this project?
I do, because, and we love Jason there, and I know he was telling MJ's story, and he did a terrific job. But what ends up happening is Scottie became collateral damage in the story because it exposed all of his warts to a new audience. Now he has to relitigate the pain, and this should be something that he's able to celebrate. Winning 6 championships, 1998, documentary out. Mm-hmm. He should be on every TV, every radio station, enthusiastic about this being out. So it's disappointing that he can't enjoy it. And as somebody that loves Scottie, he my OG. I got a chance to play against him in Chicago, and I told you how he felt that level of pain about it back then. And also, one of the things Horace said that I want to make sure I address. Everybody knew that drugs was rampant in the early 80s. So if you're going to tell the story of Michael Jordan and tie it into what the league was like in 1984 when he got into the league, that was the NBA. And mm-hmm. The one thing MJ didn't do was name names. So everything to me that got said too much about Scottie, but it did happen for professional consumption. Same thing with Horace. Those things happen for professional consumption. He's not telling some stories off wax about things that they did.
Well, Jalen, I mean, the legacy of all these Hall of Famers has been adjusted because of this documentary, but I care very little about that in comparison to how much I care about the pizza. And we have an update about the pizza that led to the flu
game. You're going to get to the bottom of this, ain't you?
We have a gentleman named Greg Kite who claims to be the man who delivered the pizza. Let's listen to the proposed pizza man.
I was the only Bulls fan in the store. I was like, hey, I will make the pizza. And I remember saying this, I'll make the pizza because I don't want any of you doing anything to it. The crap story that the guy said that there were five people. There was two of us, and I didn't even have that many people working. Obviously, the pizza has basically never left me. It's been around me the whole time. The next day, Costas comes up and says that he got food poisoning from pizza or whatever. So I said some colorful words.
Craig Fite, who works at a Pizza Hut in Park City, he says he's a Bulls fan. He gets the call. He thinks it's going to be for Chicago Bull. I listen to all of his interviews. I know everything about Craig Fite. You know what? I kind of believe him, Jalen. Do you think there were five people at the door, like Tim says? Or do you think there was two people at the door, like Craig says? Do you think that perhaps the pizza was spiked or poisoned in some way, like they suggest in Michael Jordan's camp? Or do you think that it was washed by a careful eye of a Bulls fan, as Craig says? Who do you believe?
Well, you know, Horace Grant kind of alluded to it. You know, sometimes the older you get, the longer the walk was to school. And then the next day, it was like two people outside the door. And then like 25, 30 years later, it's five people outside the door. You know how this works. And also, they could be people that actually work for the hotel or security that brought them up. So when you open the door, you look out and you see multiple people. But that ain't the story. The story is this gentleman's a Bulls fan. He was in Utah and he wanted to make sure MJ or whoever got the pizza and nothing happened to it. So it goes back to what I've been trying to tell the world forever. If you're out or in a hotel and it's past 11 and you're having drinks and you're gambling and you're smoking cigars, likely it's going to affect your stomach differently in 1998 than it would in 1993. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I know, and I'm going to represent all of the current and former pizza chefs around the world and say,
I knew you
when you really care about a pie, when you really care about a pie, there's no chance anything goes wrong with that pie. He was with that pie the entire time. He treated that pie like they treat the Oscar winners at the Oscars. Like, that pie was a clean pie, and I just want to stand up for all pizza chefs around the world, my brethren. There's nothing we would ever do to compromise the pie, no matter who it's for. When we come back, the NFL has proposed some changes to the Rooney Rule. We'll detail that and much more as we keep it moving. 2 minutes, we'll be back.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, there's a lot in the news today. We can't get to it all. So this segment, you decide, but we discuss. It's time for Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man, keep it moving. We start with this, an adjustment to the Rooney Rule in the NFL. Keep it moving or hit
the brakes.
Well, they're not going to incentivize teams with draft position to hire minority coaches, but they are making some changes. Teams are required to interview two minority candidates for head coach vacancies and at least one for vacant coordinator positions. Jalen, the Rooney Rule hasn't been that effective to this point. Do you think this will change things in the NFL?
I support the NFL trying to do something about a problem that they understand persists in their league as it relates to hiring minorities. And I strongly disagree with anyone, especially a black person, that feels like this isn't progress and this isn't the job you would want under these circumstances. Let me teach everybody something about corporate America. A lot of times you may be making a quota and you don't even realize it. The point is to get as many people in power as possible. And once that happens, then you do your deal. You take care of your business like Mike Tomlin did. You take care of your business like Flores is going to continue to do as he coaches in Miami, like Ozzie Newsome did in the front office for so many years with the Ravens. That's what you do. And so I'm actually disappointed that they're not also incentivizing teams to do so. I'm happy that it's going to be more coordinators getting meetings. But you know what? Eric Bieniemy is a coordinator of what team?
Well,
oh, the Jaylen? Kansas City Chiefs, who have the best team and the best record in the NFL. I would like to see the draft pick thing happen that was being discussed about the third rounders.
I'm glad you brought up Eric Bieniemy because he had something to say about my new favorite player in the NFL, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
You know, I know that's your guy, but we're going to keep it moving for now. Don't sleep on Dobbins with the Ravens, too.
Keep it moving.
Ryan Fitzpatrick talked about what life would be like playing with Tua Tagovailoa. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
I can't believe we didn't take Tua. Keep it moving. I'm just confused.
We got to keep moving. I don't want to see you cry. Tom Glavin brought some interesting perspective on the potential of an MLB season.
Hit the brakes. I love that ATL pitching staff.
Well, one thing I loved about what he said is he said that if the MLB season is called off, a lot of people will look at the players and some of the vocal players like Bryce Harper and Snell that have said that they wouldn't take less money. And he thinks that perhaps if it doesn't happen, the players could take the blame. Do you agree with Glavin?
Ooh, like Stevie Wonder said, I'm about to put a ribbon in the sky. You remember everything we said about the NFL? It's just the opposite for baseball players. They have a level of privilege with their sport that does not exist with the NBA and the NFL. And if a player for one of those leagues came out and said some of the things you just acknowledged that those MLB players said, they would be getting killed in the media and by fans. But you know what else baseball have? The best union in sports and leverage. And usually it used to be hidden behind cold worlds like America's Pastime. But they don't have restriction after high school. They make two times more money than NFL players. You can sign a long-term contract for as many years as you want. They don't have a salary cap. They don't have a dress code. Remember the NBA was trying to give a dress code? They don't punish you for marijuana. I've been saying these things for years, Jacoby.
Jaylen, you know
and
what?
So I think we finally
just figured out why Michael Jordan went to play baseball for all those reasons that you just listed. It had nothing to do with the death of his father.
He made the same money.
Speaking of Michael Jordan, in North Carolina, there's a hotel that's going to offer a replica of Michael Jordan's freshman hotel room. Hit the brakes. Keep moving. You've already decided to hit the brakes. Would you want to stay in a hotel that is a recreation of Michael Jordan's freshman dorm?
I would not. But just think about collegiate sports. Just think about the fervor, the enthusiasm that fans and alums and supporters have for collegiate football and basketball. In particular, Michael, Jeffrey, Air Jordan. That room is going to stay full and sold out. It's going to be the highest priced room in the hotel, and it's going to be occupied all of the time.
I still have PTSD from the conditions at my freshman dorm room. I did not want to relive that. Jaylen, one thing the NFLPA wants to hit the brakes on is the potential of a return to action in the NFL. I'll explain after this. Welcome back to Jaylen and Jacoby. Jaylen, as we all gear up for what feels like the inevitable return of the NBA and the NFL, the NFLPA president J.C. Tretter said, hit the brakes on that for a second. There's a lot of hurdles that we need to get over in order to protect the players and keep them safe amid the coronavirus in this highly contact sport. What do you think about this statement from the president
He's
of the NFLPA?
Saying what he should be saying, representing the best interest of the 1,300 or so players that he represents. However, when he got done with that interview, he looked at his emails, he looked down at his text messages, and trust me, those players want to play football. And I know he's going to do what he can to go to bat against the league to make sure that all safety measures are in tow. I understand what he said. Football contradicts social distancing, and that's absolutely true. But if they can play football, those players will play football, and he will be overruled every time.
There's a lot of financial motivation to do so. It is time for me and you to break down a video in detail that I have a lot of questions about. Let's go to the table. Jalen, check out this video of Jason Derulo. Simply, is this fake? Let's take a look. So he's using a drill to eat corn, something I've seen before, but watch his teeth, watch his teeth.
Oh!
Is that fake? You have veneers. I think it's fake.
I feel like that's real, especially if he got veneers. And if somebody that eats a lot of corn, popcorn in particular, I saw it kind of jump up. It jumped around on him. He got caught up.
It did. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Right up next, you have Dan Levitard.
You. Your friends
are highly questionable.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We always say we give the people what they want, and part of giving the people what they want is continuing with the podcast exclusive. You know, it's so important that we do this because I've been looking at how long the pods are. We used to give, you know, hour 15. Now they were coming out at like 16 minutes. We're going to give the people what they want. And Jalen, one thing I love about these pod exclusive is sometimes there's some things that you can't necessarily discuss on ESPN 1 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but you can definitely discuss on the podcast exclusive. So I'm just going to read this very
for us, and hopefully it is for you too.
I'm going to read this very well-written headline from one of our main news sources, Black Sports Online. Quote, ex-Seahawks Tony Robinson casually tells story of how found out his girlfriend cheated on him with Meek Mill while he was in jail because she needed to be in VIP, how that led to suplexes, but he still bumps Meek in the ride. Which I really want to focus on this one part because I'm not going to report on this like this is a fact. So I'm going to go hypothetical. If you found out that your wife or girlfriend cheated with like Meek Mill, would you still rock Meek Mill's music?
I would not, because he flat out disrespected me because I'm a public figure. However, if he did not know me, I still wouldn't do it. I'm not going to be able to do it.
But you know what? I wouldn't like listen to the album, but there's a few Meek Mill songs that I just can't get out the rotation. You know what I mean?
Well, like, there's a few Meek Mill songs
that aren't
going
to leave the rotation.
Well, shout out to Meek, Rock Fam. We're going to get him to come on the show. He got love. He's been on before. But one of the things I want to make sure that get distinguished is this the same story that I saw $1 million worth of game with Gillian Wallow, and somebody said he got the code to his girlfriend's phone. He looked down at the phone. It was a 215 number, and it was Meek Mill. Is this that same story, or is this a second Meek Mill story?
I don't know. But you brought up something that's important. Is if let's say this is when my girlfriend wasn't my wife, and she's not wearing a ring, okay? And the two of us are out with a group of friends at a bar or establishment. If some dude comes over and starts talking to my girlfriend, I have absolutely no problem with that. Because if I'm not standing next to her, they have no idea that we're even involved. We're just in two different locations. We're in two different sections of one location. Now, if you put your hand on her, if you're rude, if she says she has a boyfriend and you still persist, then there could be a problem. But I don't feel like somebody coming up to a very good looking young woman and introducing themselves is disrespecting me if she's not wearing a ring. What do you think?
I agree with you, especially if they didn't see you guys doing any PDA, public display
yes, exactly.
of affection.
Exactly.
Like, it's one
exactly.
thing if y'all was, you were standing there holding her hand, you had your arm around her, y'all were kissing or something like that. But it a lot of times too, if you out with groups, it can be tricky to determine who's with who. And a lot of times yes. when you're in a dating phase, that's actually why you out in a group anyway. And so I agree with you about that, but it's up to her or him, for that matter, to shoot the person down, to not allow the person to feel like they're hollering at them. Now, there's a line of distinction of what I call letting somebody holler at you.
Oh, I'd like to hear this. I'd love to hear this, Jalen Rose.
There's a line of distinction.
I would love to hear this.
You just said a key. There's a difference between shooting it down quick and allowing him to talk to you, or allowing her to talk to you.
Yo, if I see my girlfriend,
right?
If I see my girlfriend like laugh super hard at some dude's joke on the other side of the bar, I'm gonna be like, wait a second, I don't care if that's Eddie Murphy over there. You know, I don't care if it's Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy combined. You can't be laughing that hard at this stranger's joke. I'm heading over. If she gets a real good belly laugh, I'm heading over. You know,
so that's what I mean. So here's the over under. What's the over under things that he can say or she can say as the complete stranger to the person in a relationship without the person in a relationship getting shot down, without making the person in a relationship mad? So if you was a fly on the wall and you went to the bathroom and you got a chance to just stand outside the bathroom door and look all the way across the room and see somebody talking to your better half, what do you think is too much?
All right, a couple things. Number one, that was the most convoluted, complicated, confusing question I've ever heard. And I don't know what the bathroom had anything to do with it, but I'm a fly on the wall.
You just used that example. If you was out with your better half and you went to the bathroom. So imagine if you could be a fly on the wall.
You know this is being recorded, right? I did not say that. But let's not get stuck up in the semantics.
You did say that.
If you're listening to this podcast, can you please just tweet us and let us know who's right? Did I mention the word bathroom? Because on the podcast, they have that like back 20 seconds button. Use that a couple times. I never said the word bathroom. I said two different locations at the same spot. But regardless, if I'm a fly on the wall and I fly into the bathroom for some reason, then I leave the bathroom and then I have a perspective of the whole entire situation. I believe the question is, what's the over under until it's like inappropriate for my girlfriend to be talking to a complete stranger? Okay. Now I'm not going to act like all complete strangers are created equal. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. I'm not going to act like all complete strangers are created equal. And everybody listening to this knows exactly what I'm
saying. Give me examples. Well, if you think they're attractive or not, that means if you think that they're successful or not, what do you mean?
No. I mean, whether or not I consider them a threat, you know what I mean? So for example, my friend, if it is someone who, my wife has a lot of sort of, gay friends, like, you know, so if it's like one of their friends, you know, it's like a UFO like that. And I can tell from whatever reasons, whatever cues that I believe, you know, you can't be sure about these things, not trying to be prejudiced. If I believe them to not necessarily be sexually interested in my wife for that reason, you could talk for half an hour. I hope y'all best friends exchange numbers. You know what I mean? But if you are an extremely good looking, funny, successful, you know, younger, better version of me, which there are, you know what I mean? Then the time limit changes. So if I'm the fly on the wall, there's a sliding scale. But to really answer your question, you can't accept any drinks. No, none of that. Okay. No drinks. And I would say that there's like about a 60 second window. So you get about three questions in. It's like Craig Sager with Popovich. It's like you got two questions and that's it.
Sensitivity. Like,
what's your answer to that question, sir?
A couple of things. I hope this show is for the listener what it is for the participants. Did y'all just hear Jacoby on the couch getting therapy? Did y'all just hear him talk and sort that out in his heart and his mind? Like that was brilliant. And you know what else it was?
Burr complimented me. Right?
Not true.
Just and logical?
It's not.
What do you mean? So you're calling me a liar now. You're calling me a liar.
Let me finish. I gave you a scenario where you was at fly on the wall.
Yeah, I just went out of the bathroom for some reason. Had to use the bathroom, fly on the wall, got it.
Correct. And your idea of a threat was a gay guy that you called a UFO? Is that what you said?
Yeah, UFO is another term for stranger. And again, I would never say a gay guy. I'd say someone that I perceive to be potentially that, because you can't be sure in today's world. I'm 2020 friendly,
well,
okay, baby?
But okay, we're not disrespecting anyone in any way, shape, or form, and not homophobic at all, because you clearly said she had gay friends. Now, but what I'm trying to tell you as a man, if you're going to give me an example about somebody being a threat, I would have thought you would give me an example of a straight guy. That's kind of just what threw me off. So that lets me know that basically any straight guy you feel like is a threat.
Okay, first of all, you asked the most confusing question I've ever answered, but I thought I did a great job.
Oh, you're blaming me.
No, you're not listening. You're not listening. And then you went on to completely misunderstood what I was saying. The threat would be someone that I perceive to be a younger, better version of me. And up to this point, I'm very much a straight guy. And, you know, younger, funnier, better looking, more successful, well-dressed, more attentive. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things I could improve upon. Better smelling, whiter teeth. Straight nose.
I got a controversial take.
Non-poofy nipples.
I got a controversial take. What if he's a black guy? Is that considered?
I don't see race. Nah. I don't see race. No.
Younger, better version of you.
Nah.
When you say that, it sounds like a replica of you. It sounds like a replica of you. If you see somebody that looks like you, that's what you said, but a younger, better version with all of these attributes that you feel like you need to work on that's what you said.
Okay. What's your question?
So my question to you is,
I was a fly that went to the bathroom, then went to the bodega and bought a Dutch, and then went around the corner and made a payphone call, and then got in a cab and went across town, and then got in the subway, went back across town, and then planted his camera inside the club, and then looked at the camera on his phone as he walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. What would that see? Is that the question? Just leave. You know, I'll do the question asking around here, Jay. How about that? But to answer the question, I don't care if it's a black guy, white guy, whatever. Another thing is, like, one thing I understood about myself is when I had a previous relationship with a girlfriend in college, I was a little jealous. You know what I mean?
And then, let me see. Did I just say that?
No, but I'm not for real, not like that anymore. I realize that jealousy is just a manifestation of your own insecurities. You know what I mean? Like, it really helps me. Been with the same woman for 18 years. It's like, what are you going to do? Like,
exactly. Don't start patting yourself on the back. Like, you're so emotionally stable and you ain't.
Oh, no, I am.
You know, you got to ride or die. So that's why you can be like that.
Oh, it's easy. I'm trying to talk to everybody else. Reason. Not everybody's so lucky as I am. Not everyone hit the lottery like I did.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm trying to keep some game with them.
Phony reasons like, oh yeah, it's just so, man, I'm so responsible. No, it's because of her. Right. It ain't because of you.
If you were a fly on the wall that flew to your crib and then thumbed through the dictionary and looked up some of their favorite words and then went to the fridge and had some lemon pepper wings and then watched you alone with your wife's phone in the room, have you or would you ever look at her phone without her permission?
I have before because I've used it, but I'm past the point of like trying to just go through her phone to see what she texting with her sisters and her mom and her work and all of that. That's dumb.
People that are doing that, right. That's a real good indicator in the wrong relationship. Real good indicator in the wrong relationship. If you don't have your significant others, if you don't have their passcode, that's a real good indication you're in the wrong relationship. You should have all passcodes.
Yes.
You know what else you should be able to do? You should also be able to give your significant other your phone, whether you're male or female, and not have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Right. Like it's a bomb.
Yeah. You shouldn't be looking over shoulders. Like you know what I mean? You should be pretty confident with that.
Like y'all going to sleep and your phone in another room or it's still in the car.
The car. You wake up in the morning like, I'm going to go get some coffee. Go to the garage, check your text. Come back to the room. Where's the coffee?
Like you take it out the trash. Acting like you take it out the trash. You're going to get your phone.
I love it. There was a dude because the dudes always take out the trash, right? Dudes always take out the trash. You know, you would think that like women living single alone would just have a whole apartment full of trash. Like, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to get it out the house.
Well said.
You know, it's like you're single women. They somehow manage to get the trash out to the side of the curb. You know, I don't know how that happens.
That's the case. Men find ways to get the dishes washed too. I'm just
for real. Anchor field. Oh yeah. All this. This is not a one-way criticism. But I will say
so ladies and gentlemen, hit us up and let us know what you do with your phone at night. You know.
What's the number?
If you're in a relationship, what you do with your phone at night?
No, I was thinking someone has the burner phone out at the curb next to the trash cans. You know what I mean? Because at least like twice a day you're going out there. In quarantine, I'm going out there like four times a day. I got to go take out the trash. Oh, thank you so much, honey. You're going out there, checking the burner. Peace and quiet. Come back. See, that's the one place she's never going. You know what I mean?
Go take a walk.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No, there's probably a bunch of dudes who use medicinal, but their significant others don't, and that's what they do out there. They got like a little bowl out there, you know. So, oh, I'm gonna take out the trash. Take 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, they come back and go right to the pantry to get some snacks. Oh, I wonder what's happening.
And how about this? At home with the kids, you really gotta take a walk or go outside to go blow.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, you know, man, that was hilarious.
I'm glad we're giving the people what they want because we got like a 15-minute TV show. You can't talk about these things, these important issues, you know? You really can't talk about these important issues. You know what I'm still mad about? I'm still mad about that you said that I mentioned the bathroom. I did not mention the bathroom. Just didn't mention it. Not what I mean.
Somebody remind us.
I don't know why that fly flew in the bathroom.
I got to tell you one thing real quick, and I know this pod exclusive.
Me?
I traveled to Detroit on Saturday. I mentioned that to you. I wore a mask. I wore a shield. I wore glasses. I tried to keep myself protected. I was fortunate enough to be able to sit in first class. My seat was 4. I sat in 2 because it gave me more distance. But the problem is I sat in the aisle and I looked up straight in front of me. Both of the flight attendants not wearing masks.
What? What?
Not wearing masks. Not wearing masks. Not wearing masks. This is Saturday.
You know, I've been to Target a couple times, and people are not wearing masks. Yo, you know what? So
can I say one thing? I want to hear your Target story. For everybody listening to my voice, think of a mask like you think of a seatbelt when you get in your car. You need it. It's a law. Put it on. That's mandatory right now. Especially if you're coming across so many different people like flight attendants. You notice I'm not going to say the airline and I'm not going to say their names, but come on now. Please tell me what happened to Target.
If you interact, especially if you interact closely with multiple people every hour, it's almost disrespectful and irresponsible not to wear a mask. One of the trouble I've had with masks is getting them on my kids, man. It's just like, they're uncomfortable. My kids don't even wear like sunglasses. You can't even put a baseball hat on my son. Like they just don't like accessories. It's so hard to get him to keep the mask on, but I got a plan today. I'm going to take them on a wagon walk. That's when I fill them on the wagon, walk around, put all their masks on. And if
wagon walks are great.
One of these little dudes takes off their mask, going right to the cops, going right to the police officer. I'm not kidding. I'm going right to it because they won't listen to me. I'm dead. They hear from me all the time. They literally do not listen to anything I say. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Touches it. Like, what are you going to do?
Controversial statement. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. That's another difference between you and I, because that's the last thing I would be able to do to my kids, because they might get brutalized by the cops.
There's been some concerning videos of late regarding that.
But I think why are we seeing any videos of that? What, like, why are we seeing any? Like, I'm seeing videos of cops in masks confronting black people and brown people because they're not social distancing. And all of a sudden that ends up you punching me, hitting me, slapping me, tackling me to the ground.
It's very concerning. It's very concerning. Jalen, we have new information. I saw a video today of a UFO flying over the United Kingdom.
No.
Yeah, I did.
Here you go.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to send it to you, but it's just further proof that, 2020 hasn't been going great so far. So maybe we'll get the aliens now. You know what I mean?
You don't have to send that to me. Between your aliens and your kangaroo apocalypse, I'll hold my breath.
Maybe the aliens can fight the kangaroos and we can just stand on the sideline. You know what I mean? Like that maybe that'll work out nicely for us if the timing works out. So Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, one of the local restaurants around him. This must be a place that he's a regular at. He got $37 worth of stuff from said restaurant. And then he tipped $1,000 on top. Jalen, you're a big tipper. Never seen you tip $1,000 on 37. Never seen you do that. But these special times call for special compensation. You ever going to match the $1,000 on a $37?
Yeah, because you got you got old washed up version of Jalen. You got kangaroo Jalen. You ain't get retired number at multiple strip clubs across the country, Jalen. You didn't get him. Mm. So you didn't see those tip bills. I'm so happy.
Those aren't tips. That's hush money. Chad. Those aren't tips. That's hush money. That's hush money. That's not a tip. Thank you for the service. That's you never met me. I was never here. Don't send him in. I said thank you.
I like that he's trying to spread cheer during a pandemic. I will implore everybody out there, if you have somebody that is essential to your life that isn't working, that does a service for you, whether it's salon, barber, etc., I would implore you, why don't you just give them a shout and why don't you send them $50 for a cut? You know, just off principle. Why don't everybody do that for their favorite barber?
Jalen, you've always talked about people that work in sales. You've always said be a regular. So some of the places that I'm a regular at, I've sent them some tips. You know what I mean? A few hundred dollars here and there. It's not what I would normally be spending. You know what I mean? I could do more.
Right.
But I'm just thinking of these people. You know, they take care of me for so long. You know what? But when I've spent this one establishment, I've probably given them $1,000 over the course of the pandemic. When I get in there, I don't want to pay for no drinks. You know what I mean? I can't wait for that to happen. I really want to see how that goes. Like, is this $1,000 credit or was that $1,000 a gift? I'm going to find out real quick.
That $1,000. So you're going to tell me it was hush money, but then you're going to try to make yours a gift, but you'll send $1,000 to essential bartenders in your neighborhood, little holes in the wall on the corner of your block that you be walking to, going to watch games and play the golf game, but then you don't send nothing to the staff. You know what I'm saying? You don't send nothing to his staff.
Oh, no, that's not fair. Oh, that's not fair. No. I was very clear. Don't you accuse me of that. I sent it to the proprietor, and I said, spread this out amongst the staff. I was like, and I didn't even tell them who. You know what I mean? I was like, you know who. You know what I mean?
Who is this, your medicinal guy? Like, what are they spreading
out? No, I don't have a medicinal guy. That's illegal in New York City, baby. That's illegal, man. I live in New York. That's illegal.
Mm-mm. And if somebody can, make sure you give love to Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. You know, they should be celebrating right now.
Yeah.
They should be celebrating. Let's give them their flowers.
We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Chandler Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.